All right, let's do this.
Let's do this.
You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
This year on the Famicom Dojo podcast, you can't find Nintendo anything anywhere, supposedly because it's selling so well. Club Nintendo is shutting down worldwide. Vink's future retro consists of his haul from America over Christmas. And since I can't find anything from Nintendo, I'm just playing my PS4. Come gather herbs with us on our first podcast of 2015. This episode of the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is sponsored by listener Steve Gravel. Gravel. You too can sponsor an episode by going to littlepodcast.com, selecting Famicom Dojo from the dropdown, and clicking the donate button. Be sure to leave us a message that we can read on the show, or just email us. Otherwise, we might do things like pronounce your name wrong on air. Thanks, Dev. I mean, Steve.
Yes, we were born to play all this video games. What the heck, we are Uno, Famicom, Dojo, Fogout. Thank you for this video games.
Dear Nintendo of America, why can't we have nice things? Sincerely, Famicom Dojo.
P.S. Don't you love us anymore?
Why do we keep coming back? I mean, it's like an abusive relationship.
A little. I don't know. Because you remember the good times.
Yep. 30 years ago.
No way. I'll disagree there. I think Nintendo's making some of the best games they've ever made right now. And they're so good that Nintendo doesn't want to share them with the heathen masses. So they produce very few copies of them.
Oh, yeah. So we've been gone a little while, haven't we?
We have.
It's all for a higher purpose, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We're bringing the videos back, so we need to take a little break.
We spent two months working on that VinkCon video. So
no,
that's what we've been working on while we were gone. So yeah,
that's all you're getting.
That's it. We told you winter, and it's winter, and there you go.
I mean, and who'd have thought so much would have happened since then? Because where we last left it was Smash Brothers for Wii U had just come out.
I know. And what has it been 2 months then?
About 2 months, and you still can't find a GameCube adapter anywhere.
Yeah, it's been 2 months, and during that time, they've manufactured 8 amiibos.
It seems like it.
Not different characters. I mean, just 8. They're all Peach.
I mean, the GameCube adapter thing, I kind of understand because, that's useful. It's utilitarian. If they really want to drive these hardware sales for these controllers and I guess help all these used game shops at the same time, apparently, then that's great. But like, I think all that's happened since they initially sold out was that the Nintendo store released some and then immediately sold out in like 15 minutes, I think. And then that's the last we heard of it.
Well, I mean, Iwata's been quite sick lately.
Yeah, and then they just pushed back an investor meeting for him, didn't they?
Yes, because I think I figured this out.
Uh-huh.
I think Mr. Iwata is allergic to money. So I mean, the Wii U's been selling a lot better right now lately. The sales are definitely up over last year. Nintendo's back making profit again. And then with the amiibos coming out too, there could have been a lot of money. I mean, more than someone who's allergic to money should ever be exposed to.
Right.
So the plan is that they need to keep making these things because they got to keep their employees, working on stuff, designing these amiibos, making these games. But then they're just going to release very, very small quantities of them as kind of a barrier to that money.
I can see how that would help them in the long run. No, no. I mean, the Wii U in Japan right now, right? Like it's the number one selling console. There was a week there.
It was over. Well, pretty much over Christmas break, but that's Nintendo. But It's still the second best-selling console, and it's going to take a good year and a half for PlayStation 4 to catch up to the lead Wii U has already had. Because the PlayStation 4 is outselling it right now, but not by a lot.
Right.
But...
And I don't remember the number for exactly how many like Amiibos they've actually sold, but it's quite a chunk of change there. If only, you know, people could still buy them.
You can still buy them. I've seen Mario and Zelda and Pikachu.
Being someone who's like collected toys for way too long than is probably healthy. Like, you know, I've read in a lot about how things are packed into waves and assortments and how they're never right. Like there's always these shelf warmers.
Yep.
And it's like why not actually take information from the marketplace and readjust your shipping accordingly? Why do you have to? Because it's like, no, retailers, you have to sell through what we gave you before we give you more. Well, they're not selling. Well, that's not our problem. Actually, it is.
All right. I got it. Theory two.
Okay.
Nintendo sees what's been selling lately. They make all these really interesting new games like Wonderful 101. Sells like garbage, you know. Bayonetta sells like garbage. All these games, and they notice, oh, what's selling? Mario. So let's make the proportion of the amiibos in proportion with the sales of different franchises. So all you've got is Mario and Zelda and things like that, and anything else like Ike or Marth or what is there a NES one yet?
Think so. I haven't been.
That's the thing. Like when I was in America, I went out to the stores and I'm like, the first wave of amiibos is 4. Okay, because every store I went to, I saw the same like 4 or 5. Yeah.
Oh, there have been a few waves since you've been back. But I haven't really been keeping track because I honestly don't care about amiibo.
Well, theory three. This is all part of the master plan to make people like us care about them. Because when they were announced, they went, eh.
Right.
But now, like, I was just going to an electronics store the other day, and I'm like, whoa, Wii Fit Trainer. I've never seen one of those before. Oh, and Ike from Fire Emblem. And I'm like, I'm going to buy these. And I bought them. And I don't know why. I took them home, and I'm like, what am I going to do with these? Because there's this perceived rarity and value to these,
right?
I just don't know. And I'm kicking myself. I saw a Rosalina the other day, but I didn't know they were rare. And then I heard that they are, and people are lining up for hours. Yeah, it's like Nintendo's trying to be Apple, but without the profit.
I mean, I guess there is like a logic and marketing whatever to this forced scarcity thing, but and I would be happy if it was just the amiibo issue instead. I mean, there was this wonderful Nintendo Direct. I say wonderful, but I maybe was interested in about 10% of it. But the really? One thing that
the recent one,
yeah,
okay, we'll keep going.
The thing I was happiest, choose the correct
10%, I'll forgive you. Yes. All right.
The thing I was happiest about was that Majora's Mask is finally coming for 3DS. Like it was leaked already. Basically, there were like circulars and whatnot that came out. But it was confirmed finally.
That's not the most recent Nintendo Direct.
That's not.
No, that's a Nintendo Direct ago.
Man.
The recent one just mentioned the Majora's Mask release date. It actually gave a date and the limited edition one, but it was announced at the previous Direct.
Oh, was it announced at the previous one?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, I guess I must have missed it, but I was happy. I was happy about this because, you know, I've been telling myself since the game came out 15 years ago that, it's my favorite Zelda game, but I've realized I haven't actually played it at all. Since that first time in those last 15 years. And I'm like, well, wait, what's come out since then? We've had Wind Waker. which I hated at the time, not for the cell shading, but for other reasons. And then it came to love. We've had Twilight Princess. We've had.
You were one of those people who Skyward felt there wasn't Sword. Enough sailing, right?
Yeah, that was it. Good Lord. I don't want to rehash that subject. And then there's been a few handheld ones too. And then Link Between Worlds. So there's been a lot of Zelda since that.
Yeah.
And
actually, not that many for that amount of years, actually. I mean, when you consider that, like, two different Assassin's Creed games have been released just during the time we've been doing this podcast.
yeah. But the special edition for Majora's Mask for 3DS, like, sold out and pre-orders everywhere online. Because it's not out yet. It'll be, by the time this podcast comes out, it should be next week.
Yep.
When it comes out. Also coming out next week.
What?
You know, finally. No?
Shenmue 3?
No, we called it. I mean, people have been saying it's not going to come out in the U.S. maybe ever. No, that's not what they're saying. No. We're getting the new 3DS.
XL
only.
Yep.
And special edition Majora's Mask version.
Yay.
Which is sold out everywhere.
Well, I mean, they probably only made like 10. So I think, well, this
doesn't come with the game, by the way. It doesn't come with the game or the AC adapter. It's worth mentioning. Yep.
Or because, buttons.
Or buttons. No, it comes with buttons. I figured it out.
Stylus.
It's not just the Majora's Mask edition.
Yeah.
Like none of these new 3DSs are coming out with AC adapters. And I figure it's because they've hit on this great new scheme where as soon as your charge runs out, you're going to race out and buy another 3DS.
Well, okay. All right, you entitled Americans. let me tell you how the rest of the world works.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of Japanese hardware doesn't come with the AC adapter.
The used stuff I know because there was a law against it, right? Because all the old ones are like fire hazards.
New stuff as well. The new 3DS here didn't have the adapter. And lots of things. A lot of cell phones don't come with adapters. And okay. Let's see how your gaming history is.
Sure.
Like I read some post like, why is Nintendo I hate new Nintendo. Why are they doing this? And I'm like, really? Have you not been paying attention? You know this. We're Famicom Dojo. You know this. Come on.
What's the question?
How is this not a new thing for Nintendo?
Well, I mean, does the Wii U ship with an AC adapter?
Well, yeah.
It ships for one with the console and for the gamepad?
Yes.
Okay. So is this just a handheld thing?
No.
The last handheld I bought in Japan was a DS Lite.
Okay.
And that had an AC adapter with it.
Yeah, it does. Okay.
A decade ago, though.
I'll give you the answer. This one might actually surprise you if you don't actually know this. The AV Famicom didn't ship with an AC adapter.
Oh, I did know that, actually. And because when I bought one, I'm like, why doesn't it have one?
Yeah.
And I read the box finally. It's like the cables, the AV cables and the adapter were not included. They were both sold separately. So right in the box.
The only way that you would be ready to go just buying that system itself is if you had an old Famicom, which you can use the AC adapter for, and a Super Famicom, which you can use the AV cables from.
Right. Or the Super Famicom actually has the same AC adapter as the original as well.
Oh yeah. But if you didn't have those things already, I guess the thing is when the AV Famicom came out, it was after the Super Famicom was out, and for people who wanted to rediscover the older games or who needed a replacement, I guess it made sense. It made the resale value of your Famicom go down, just like what it's doing for if you want to sell your old 3DS to get one of these new fancy schmancy things.
Right, yeah, because is that a deliberate drain on the secondary market?
I don't even know. Now, I mean, from a business perspective, it makes some sense because you need a much. Your box will have a much smaller footprint without the adapter in it, so you can put more into a pallet and get more to the stores.
And charge the same price for it, so there's more margin too.
I don't know. I mean, they say that it's cutting down on the cost to the consumer, but
they still have to ship those AC adapters with those so people can buy them, unless they really expect their customer base to be largely existing 3DS owners.
Well, maybe that is their customer base. Because, I mean, really, who likes Nintendo has not jumped in by now?
Well, that was kind of their argument for not releasing the new 3DS earlier, was because that America hadn't reached that saturation point the other countries have. Yeah. But then, like, a month or two later, they released it anyway. So, whatever. Yeah. I mean, this came out in Japan in October, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, so it's only been 4 months.
Yeah.
Was America that far behind the curve? I know they're pushing those special editions for Christmas and stuff, but it's just like...
Well, compared to the sales in Japan, yeah, Nintendo's way far behind the curve. But the thing is, those sales that they're talking about to reach saturation point, I don't know if those customers, those theoretical customers, even exist anymore. I think they all went mobile.
Ah.
And that's the thing. Like, I don't know.
So for me, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. For me, it's just not a big issue, because you can get a USB adapter to charge here in Japan for literally a dollar. You know, it's at the 100 yen stores, and they're very popular. But the thing is, on that same note, the fact that they're only a dollar and they're really small, it's just a cable, it's not even an adapter. Nintendo could have thrown one of those in the box.
Well, Nintendo has a proprietary charging plug, though.
They do, but it's USB on one end and Nintendo plug on the other.
What? Really?
Yeah. You want one? they're a dollar.
They don't sell... No, they sell like a whole like freaking brick thing, wall plug.
Yeah, in America. They do, but don't you guys have the USB adapter?
For 3DS?
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You put the USB cable in.
I'm familiar with the concept. I own an Apple, an iPhone.
Yes.
Mobile phones are on this bandwagon here, but no, they don't. Yes. No, they don't sell adapters separately here yet. I mean, they do now. Maybe it's going to be different going forward, but no, I've never seen any kind of 3DS USB adapter before.
Well, let's do it. Let's do an Amazon search.
Good grief. Okay.
Let's see.
See who gets there first.
Amazon. All right. This is how the sausage is made, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And this sausage fest we're having here.
All right. There we go. Amazon. $1.40.
For DSi.
3DS, DSi, DS, and the XL. Yeah, it's the same port. Oh, Nintendo! I think Nintendo might even make one of their own for the DSi. Oh, well, anyway, yeah, they're cheap.
Yeah, it's not a dollar, but you know, it's less than 10.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got shipping on there too, but here's what I'm saying: if they're that cheap to buy off Amazon, why couldn't Nintendo have thrown one in the box? Because who doesn't have a USB port by now on something? You know. I've got like 10 of those little Apple bricks, you know, and I think that would have been a good alternative. They should be moving in that direction anyway, to have kind of universal power.
Well, here's the thing though, right? The whole time we're talking about this, I get the Japanese market's like this, but the US market isn't. Like, you buy a phone, it comes with an adapter. Like, you know, if they want to compete with mobile, and it's like, well, we're not going to include a way to charge your device. You have to buy something separately. I mean, are people going to know? Are they going to complain and return their systems? It's like you buy a mobile device in America, you don't have this issue.
Well, you're getting ahead of yourself right now, because this is Nintendo we're talking about. So they're only going to make 8 systems. So you don't have to worry. Only the most rabid customer, who money is no object to, is going to get this thing anyway. So
I'm disappointed, honestly. I was looking forward to getting the smaller form factor, because it is bigger than the original, but still smaller than the XL.
Yeah,
I like the colored buttons, but that's not really a factor for me. The faceplates concept I thought was nice, and I would give them money for faceplates. Like, screw Amiibo, faceplates is where it's at. Like that awesome like Nintendo Kanji one, the special edition that Europe got that.
Yep.
Guru Larry may have reviewed recently, and I told him I hated him over. Love you, Larry. I understand why we don't have this for America, but I don't understand why this ridiculous region locking concept is keeping me from buying the European edition.
Yep. That is just silly at this point. I
want to make this choice for myself. I don't want the XL version.
If I bought one, I would want the XL version. So, but I don't think that this decision should be made for. Well, there's marketing, of course, though. The American customers bought the XL in such larger numbers over the regular one that it didn't make financial sense to do.
Which is why I understand. It's just for that small percentage of us who might want to go a different way, there's no recourse.
They should have just had it like, yeah, okay, to retailers, I understand. You've got very limited shelf space. But make an edition and just sell it off your website for those people who want it. I don't understand why that would have been so hard.
Because they got to do all that work region locking it.
Well, it's flashing a firmware. They should be able to do it. Well, this is Nintendo, so. But, all right, okay. Is this just our Nintendo Hate Fest podcast? Is that what we're doing today?
Well, I guess, because I have one more example.
All right, okay. Let's get it out, and then I'll balance it out by telling you about my future retro.
Sure, okay. The Club Nintendo, which we, Japan had for a long time, finally came to America, had this great stuff. You know what got me to go to Club Nintendo, right? Well, it was two things, actually. The first were the Mario-themed playing cards that came as a Platinum reward. And I was like, yeah! And then I hopped onto that bandwagon, registered all my stuff. And the thing I really wanted was that gold nunchuck, because I was playing Skyward Sword at the time.
Yep.
And I got enough points for a gold nunchuck. And then I got platinum. And then I got I don't even know what game it's for. A soundtrack. Was it a Majora's Mask soundtrack? I think that's what
it might have been.
And then something happened. I moved around at the time that Platinum reward shipped, and I didn't get it for weeks and weeks and months and months. And I finally called them, and it was like, hey, I never got this. And it showed that it shipped, and it was a whole thing with FedEx. And long story short, I may have talked about this in the podcast before, but I got a copy of it. Like, next time this happens, you better not wait 10 months to tell us. And I'm like, okay. Joke's on me, though, because they never offered a physical reward again.
No. Well, okay, for platinum, yeah. But I just got a Samus Aran in a Mario level T-shirt. So,
well, they never offered a physical reward again that I was interested in.
Okay, and you're getting the Smash soundtracks, right? Those are coming.
No,
to you.
I missed the deadline to register.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Speaking of which, so wait, Club Nintendo. Let's go there right now.
Okay. I'm gonna put in some codes while you're talking.
There's another deadline for that Smash Brothers thing. Oh yeah, the Mewtwo DLC download. There's a deadline on that too. So hold on, wait. I'm gonna log in right now. But that's not the reason I'm complaining, because they went digital only for the platinum rewards, and it's like these are all eShop titles that I can buy or have bought already, and it's like there's the digital promotion. For Wii U that's ended now.
Yes.
So it sounds like they want to streamline this into one program, and so Club Nintendo worldwide is going away. So I can't really blame Nintendo of America for this, but I see stuff like you get like this customized Mii Wii remote for Club Nintendo in Japan. I'm just like, we never in America got stuff as cool as what they offered in their Club Nintendo.
I've got this really nice Pikmin tote bag. I wonder if that one came out in America. What was the message on it? It was something like, let me find it.
Okay, so the Club Nintendo CD registration ended on January 13th, and those ship out in March.
It says, attack, multiply, become snacks.
God.
But, Japan had some really good stuff. I've got, what have I got from Club Nintendo? I've got Tingle's Balloon Fight cartridge for 3DS. And I don't know. There was lots of cool stuff here. The Mario pencil cases. I think those came out in the.
Yeah,
in
I think so too. But you know, after the last Platinum Reward round, like I just stopped caring about registering my stuff and the things I had, like my post play stuff, I just let lapse. And there are a lot of points I left on the table, as probably hundreds at this point.
Really?
And then stuff I've never even bothered to register, because, like, why bother? But, you know, I think I want this Mewtwo DLC download code for the two versions of Smash Brothers I have, so I'm going to do at least that much. That you have until March 31st to do. But you also only have so long to actually put any points into Club Nintendo whatsoever, because your coins will not transfer to whatever new program that they will put together.
Already, if you buy something digitally, you no longer get coins for it. As I found out when I bought Metroid Prime Trilogy.
They turned it off for the digital stuff.
Yep, it's off. Although I did get for Super Mario Galaxy too. Hey, Nintendo, I like this. I like this. I like your $10 Wii download thingies. Yeah. There. I like that. I don't want to be... Okay, Metroid Prime Trilogy, which goes for, I don't know, $70 or something on eBay for $10, even if it is digital, making me break my physical rules, but that's a good deal. That's a good deal. I can see that. A lot of people are complaining that they didn't add gamepad support to it, but Metroid Prime Trilogy was made for the Wii Remote, and I don't know. I think it's a good way to control it. Galaxy 2, though, would have liked it. Maybe I could have clicked on the star rights on the gamepad screen, and I don't know. But I'm okay with that, because the price is right. It's very good. But really, you're able to get some Wii games. Give me some of the ones like Xeno. Okay, they won't do Xenoblade, will they? Because no. They're going to release the 3DS one.
Why even have Wii Virtual Console games on here anymore? Like, there's a Super Metroid for Wii.
Yeah.
Why not have the Wii U version?
Well, at this point, if they're able to patch in control, because they said for anything, any Wii game that supported originally the classic controller, then you'll be able to play it on your gamepad.
You know, I haven't actually tested out this theory. Oh, yeah. Why did we get Wii support before GameCube or N64 support?
I was wondering the same thing. Nintendo.
I mean, you know, the GameCube controller, the GameCube adapter shortage doesn't matter, I guess. I thought that was an indication we were going to get GameCube support and that it would get patched in.
Vink was right.
Vink was right.
I told you it meant nothing.
It did mean nothing. I mean, they would have to find a way to patch in Wii controls anyway. But if they've done this with the Wii U Wii Virtual Console games.
Yep.
Is that right? The Wii U Virtual Console Wii games. That's the right parlance, I think.
Launches
into Wii mode, so it's all 480p.
No, it's not considered virtual console games. I don't know what they're calling it. Yeah, because it's not part of the Virtual Console, because Virtual Console has these features like save states and things like that. This is basically just a wrapper for Wii games.
I guess. But the
Wii mode. Yeah.
The Wii mode on your Wii U is a virtual console, though.
No, it's
It's not literally a Wii. It's a virtual Wii.
Is it? Because they actually have, you know, the back hardware in there. Like, the GameCube on the Wii was a full GameCube there, and that's why they were able to remove it later when they wanted to save money.
I guess.
I don't know exactly how that works. Somebody who knows, please let us know.
It wouldn't matter with the GameCube adapter anyway, because it wouldn't work with the Wii mode. But the friggin' gamepad works with these Wii games. I still haven't tested if it actually works in the Virtual Console stuff or not, and other Wii. If they can do that, they just haven't done it. You know, there's no interest for them to do it. And I would support them if like a fraction of the stuff that was available for Virtual Console on the Wii was available on the Wii U. Nothing for N64. Nothing.
I mean, well, okay. I'll give you N64. Some of the other stuff, like the other platforms, the Sega Genesis, the blah blah blah, it's licensing issues. You know, they might with the sales that they have of the Wii U, it might, you know, and whatever licensing fees that they would charge, it's possible that they felt that they would never make back what they spent on it. I can understand, but their own console. N64. Why is that not a thing?
Well, I mean, they have to add, are they just afraid that the N64 games look so bad they don't want to cover the Miiverse with those screenshots?
Or maybe they're planning to re-release every single Nintendo 64 game ever made on the 3DS at some point. What Star Fox 64, Ocarina of Time?
It's already happened. Yeah, the really popular ones are coming out.
They're still selling copies of the DS launch title of Mario 64.
Yeah, why sell a $10 virtual copy when you can sell it for $40?
Yep. I hope that's not it. That might be it.
You know that you can't get Ocarina of Time 3DS is out of print.
Well, of course it is, because I want it.
So you can buy it digitally, and it's like, Nintendo. But it's like, if they really are trying to push people towards digital, two things. One, why so little internal data on the Wii U? Yep. And two, why even do the Amiibo thing if you're going to not release enough of them? It's like, you can't apply something that's physical only and one game only to this whole new merchandise line as you do for the games. It's just not gonna. And I don't even care about Amiibo. You know, it's like, good luck getting that second link.
Methinks he doth protest too much.
All right, let me tell you my Amiibo story. I bought the Samus one.
Okay.
I think I brought it over to Phil's house to have it get played, and I never really played against it myself, and I should, because that's how you train them. Yeah. But I haven't really played Smash Brothers a lot since I bought it, for various reasons having to do with my PS4, which I'm sure we'll get into very soon. But then I bought a Captain Falcon. Just because I heard it was rare, happened to be driving by Janesville. They had one left on the rack. Picked it up. Haven't opened it.
Good. It would lose all its value then.
All of the five extra dollars it is over retail right now.
Right now. But when Nintendo never ever makes another one ever again.
Fine. I'll hold on to it. I have no compelling interest right now in opening it.
Yeah. Who's going to play Captain Falcon? Oh, dear. I've opened the floodgates now.
Listen, you.
There's going to be so many Falconers.
Falconers.
Which is what I'm going to call them right now.
All right. So I unleashed the final negative thing in Club Nintendo. What was your counterbalance?
Okay. My counterbalance, love what they're doing. Love what they're doing with the releasing the Wii games. I saw that Pandora's Tower was listed.
Yeah.
I was not able to get it the first time through. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope a lot of people take advantage of Sin and Punishment, which actually the physical is not much more than $10 right now. Sure. But it's a great game, and it just really, really got overlooked. So I'm hoping this, like, every week they release one game and really kind of hype it up will allow people to get in on that. I skipped Punch Out because I've got it physically, but I never owned Super Mario Galaxy 2. It was one of those things where I felt I needed to beat Super Mario Galaxy first. Mm-hmm. And when I finally did, I was in Japan and everything, and it was hard to get, and I don't know, it was, but I've been playing it now. Oh, it's so good. It's really, really good. It's excellent. And this is the I've only owned the first Metroid Prime on GameCube. I never owned any of the rest of the series, and I'm looking forward to digging into Metroid Prime Trilogy later on. Should I skip 2?
No. Why would you want to skip 2?
That is really hard.
Listen, I just went through it. I just went through it. Like,
I know you were talking about it, but it took you years to get through it.
No. It took me years to get back to playing. It took me 25 hours to finish and over like 2 months because I have two kids. Okay. And
all right.
That I've blown that away with another. I keep teasing my future retro here. But, you know, no, it was fine. It's just that towards the end, there's a lot of backtracking.
I hear it's the black sheep of the family.
Well, I didn't hate it.
Did you play Corruption?
Well, all right. Let me back up for a minute here. I'll get to that. So right. I either forgot or didn't realize that there was only a 1 week window for the $10 deal.
Yeah.
And so when I missed that for Galaxy 2, I was like, I was waiting until Metroid Prime Trilogy because I figured that was worth getting because I know how rare that one is. And I have the reason I never bought it the first place was because I have all three games, especially because I hadn't finished 2 and opened and played the part of the intro level, but never actually really played 3. Yeah. It's like, why would I spend my money on a game I already haven't been playing? But you know, it's rarity makes me want to buy a copy, and digital is just fine. But I'm wondering why on earth it's almost 7 gigabytes when like Wind Waker HD, a Wii U game, is like a gig and a half.
Well, I mean, the there's no voice acting in that in Wind Waker, and you know
I guess in the third game there's voice acting.
Yeah, but like these are the remade versions as well, because they were originally it's three Wii games you're getting, not two GameCube games and a Wii game. It's right. Three Wii games, because these are the new Play Control ones that had the letterboxed version and you know cleaned up and the new controls.
Prime doesn't have the voice acting the European version had, does it? I don't think it does.
I didn't know there was a difference. So but regardless, I mean, you add up two GameCube discs and a Wii disc, you know, that's the size.
I guess.
Plus there's extra stuff. There's galleries and art and blah 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 blah. No, I wasn't surprised by the size. Actually, it seemed very reasonable for me. But I have yet to purchase an external hard drive for my Wii, so I basically had to delete everything else. So.
Well, that's my problem, right? Like I do have an external USB thumb drive, which people have been telling me is not good to play games off of.
No, it's not. It really wears it out quick. But it's great for downloading something you plan to play later.
That's my problem right now is that like I've been moving everything to my internal memory as a result of this, and I have only been keeping stuff like demos and whatnot on the USB drive.
Makes sense.
And so when I downloaded Metroid Prime Trilogy, not realizing how big it was going to be, that was the only place it would fit. Which fortunately, in this case, by default, it only ever downloads to your external drive anyway. But like in this case, I have like I'm like a few hundred megabytes short of being able to stick it on internal memory, which is fine because I'm probably going to end up playing the Wii version I have anyway. I just wanted to have it. I could probably just delete it and download it again later if I really wanted to.
Well, that's what's nice. I mean, for now at least, although you know how I trust –
right.
you know, online stores. But I mean, at least for the time being, yeah, you should be able to re-download that. And I don't know, I might get an external drive for my Wii U later, but I don't know. I like physical media for the most part. And I mean, I'll pick these up when they're $10, but when they when they're done with their $10 promotion and they're $20, yeah, most of them I'd seek out physical instead.
Yeah, they're you can probably find them cheaper in a used game store or on Amazon or eBay or something. Right. There is that.
But getting back to the positive a little, I like that. And the games that I've been playing for Wii U lately have and for Game Boy the 3DS lately as well, have been some of the best games I've ever played. When I was in the United States, I picked up Bayonetta 1 and 2 pack, Super Smash Brothers. I picked up Deus Ex Human Revolution. I picked up, so many things. NES Remix, which I already kind of had, but you know it was cheap, and
did you get the Wii U run or the 3DS one?
A Wii U, Wii U.
Okay.
I don't know. I picked up a whole bunch of things, but the one I probably played the most and probably enjoyed the most is, so far, is Captain Toad Treasure Trackers.
Ooh, should we go into our future retro then?
Yes.
Yes, all right.
And that's mine. That's mine. Right there. Did you play Super Mario 3D World?
That came out like a year ago, right?
A little over, yeah.
That was in the before time. the long
before
ago.
Before time?
So a bunch of games came out around that time,
yeah.
Right?
And yeah.
What was it? It was that. I had bought my own copy of Pikmin 3 finally, or I finally played it, one of the two, and I was going through all this Wii stuff, and I was filming a lot of Famicom Dojo videos around this time last year. And then I was in this long process of moving after I sold my house.
Yeah.
So the Wii U had to get put away until I got to my next place. And so during those several months of having it not out, I'd stopped playing everything I was playing at that point.
Did you buy the game?
Oh yeah, I started playing it. I just didn't. I was like, I should finish Pikmin 3, and then I just haven't picked up any of those games. Like a bunch of new stuff came out since. Like I finally moved, unpacked everything, got stuff set up, and could watch TV again.
does your wife occasionally play games, action games?
Funny story, we tried to bust out Nintendo Land again, but for some reason, whenever we try to put my disc in, it freezes the whole console.
That's weird.
Yeah, and like there's no scratches on the disc, so I don't know why that's happening.
But like this 3D World is just an absolutely great multiplayer game. Just really great. Cooperative or competitive, depending on how you play it. My wife and my brother would come over, and we just had a blast with it. That's how I recommend playing it, actually.
We ended up playing, what was it, New Super Luigi U.
That's a fairly hard game, though.
It was, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, it is. I love games where you can just, you know, steal all the mushrooms, even when you don't need them. You're already tall, you know.
Yeah, we should have played Mario 3D World instead.
But I
know where you're going with this, though. I know where you're going with
but
this.
But they had some stages in there that were kind of just like puzzle stages. They reminded me a lot of I don't know, games like Lolo and things like that. Not quite the same, because it's a little, but just really fun little creative. These Captain Toad stages, and they were probably my wife's favorite part of that. She was always excited when a new one of those would come up, because I don't know, it's more thinking based than just, you know, reflex based. And they expanded on this concept, and they released Captain Toad Treasure Trackers, and at a discount price. It's a $40 game rather than a $60 game, which is good. I like that Nintendo's realizing that that you know games have a perceived value. Although frankly, it's a lot better than a lot of the $60 games I've bought.
Nice. Yeah, that's the reason like I bought Super Luigi U is because I didn't really want New Super Mario Brothers. I liked the more focused, harder version of it, and I was like, $30 sold, and I didn't play it for a year until my wife's like, we should play a video game together. And I was like, oh, I don't even have any save data for this.
Well, actually, if you have save data from, what is it? If you have save data from either, I think it's Super Luigi U, and you put in Mario 3D World, it unlocks a game called Super Luigi Luigi Brothers.
Yes. And next time I put in Super Mario 3D World, I'm sure I will see that. Uh-huh. So you're telling me I should buy this game because I
don't know. Like, that's what I'm saying. Play Super Mario 3D World, and if you like those stages, the stages in Captain Toad, I think, are actually better designed than the ones in 3D World. Those seem more like a proof of concept. And it's really great. You can beat the game in 5 hours. Probably a little less.
Okay, hence the price.
To beat it. But the thing is, there's these hidden stars in almost every level, and every level also has an extra objective. Like for one, you're supposed to beat it without killing any enemies, or in one, you have to beat it with killing every enemy. Or in one, you're supposed to do it with only, using these switches once or something like that. You know, there's all these like much higher level things. So the game has a lot of replayability. Also, if you already own Super Mario 3D World, you can get some remixed 3D World stages where you play as Toad. And of course, since Toad can't jump, you have to think of different ways to beat the levels. No, Toad can't jump because he's got that heavy backpack.
Ah, okay.
No, but that's the thing about this game is it's more of a puzzle game than an action game, but it just ties in so beautifully, and the graphics are phenomenal. Now, of course, it's easy to have phenomenal graphics when your scope is so small. You know, the Captain Toad levels are all pretty much contained in one, in a couple of screens, but the lighting is just. It is a very, very nice looking focused game with a good art style. Love it. Nice. That is my future retro, and it's obviously not selling as well as a Mario game because it's a spin-off, but really I think when we look back on the Wii generation, that's going to be on the top 10 lists of ones to buy. And I don't know, maybe it was just how much I enjoyed playing it with my family, because my kids just liked watching it. They liked seeing the star because the game teases you, because you can see the hidden stars, you just don't know how you're going to get there. So I don't know. We just had a blast with it, and I'm probably going to play it later again today. Even though I've already beat the game, I haven't unlocked everything yet. So this might be one of the first games in a long time that I go for 100% completion.
I'm really glad that they're releasing stuff that's not full price, because that's been a constant complaint of mine that there's no varied tier, and like Nintendo's first party stuff very rarely goes below full price.
And Kirby and the Rainbow Curse is also going to be a reduced price title, $40.
Interesting.
Okay. And
I just wish I wanted to play them more than I do.
Well, I don't know. I might get Kirby just because my daughter really likes Kirby, and I'm a fan of claymation style.
Mm.
It looks really, but I don't know, the touch based gameplay. It's not really my thing, but. And I think that's the thing. I wouldn't buy that game at $60, but at $40,
sure,
for my kids to play with, and I don't know, that particular control scheme might actually be easier for my daughters who are raised on the iPad.
Oh, so, right.
Yeah. So I don't know.
You know, I've introduced my older son to Excitebike now, which is a really easy game for him to play because he can just hold down the A button.
Yeah.
Doesn't even have to steer. I showed him how, but he's like, no, I'm just going to push this.
You can steer in that game? Mind blown.
Good grief. He loves it when he hits a jump wrong and he like just tumbles down the side. He's like, look, Dad. It's like, yep. What's he doing? He's hurt. He's trying to get back to his bike. Then he likes letting go of the button and just hear the engine like kind of rev down. It's just, there's so much detail in that game when like, you know, you really just sit and think about all the little touches they had to put in to make it seem like,
I like how the camera follows you. Like when there's the camera crew and you go past it, it turns. I don't know. Things like that really, I've always enjoyed. Oh man. Speaking of Excite.
Yes.
I was at the public library in my hometown, which has game. You can borrow games there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the kids section, and someone had just they had like a stack of stuff that they were planning to check out, and near the top of the stuff was like the compilation of the comic Bone. You know that, right?
Yes.
It's a good comic. They made a game out of that, but or whatever, and a copy of Excite Truck. And I'm just like, this kid's going to have a good weekend. I don't know who this kid is, but they're going to have a good weekend.
Sweet.
Oh. So, all right. You're chomping at the bit, I know.
I'm sorry.
Tell me, just let it all out.
All right. Well, I mean, I might have mentioned Dragon Age Keep like only a million times towards the end of the year. But Dragon Age Inquisition came out mid-November. This is before Smash Brothers came out, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. It was less than a week before Smash Brothers came out. So that's why I didn't really play Smash Brothers on my Wii U because I was in the middle of Dragon Age. I'm about 70 hours in.
Wow.
The end isn't anywhere in sight because I'm doing everything. I don't even know where to start talking about this. If you are a fan of Dragon Age, this is like the original Origins plus like five other games smashed into it. There's just so much to do. I mean, right off the bat, you can jump, which I know doesn't sound like a big deal. imagine you're playing as Toad in the first two games.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I'm like, oh man, I picked the wrong game. I can't jump in my game.
So there's like a lot of rough terrain. It's like really, really, really open world. Now there's just enormous zones that don't require any loading aside from initially going there. And the Hinterlands is like the first place that you start. And it's just like you can spend 30 hours there without doing anything else in the game probably. But there was like, I think it was on Kotaku, there was like an article called Do Yourself a Favor and Leave the Hinterlands or something like that, because there's just so much more game out there. But like the story-based stuff I'm not even playing right now. It's like lots of little side quests, stuff with my companions. You can collect them all pretty early in the game, I believe, and just hang out and collect herbs and stuff. It sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it?
Here's what I'm hearing.
All right.
I'm not even playing the story. Just walking around, it's totally open, collecting herbs. I'm like, this sounds
all right.
Like the worst
all right.
game ever.
All right, plot. I'll tell you the plot, okay? Okay. So right. It's the aftermath of Dragon Age 2. And if you haven't played Dragon Age 2, then, you know, cover your gentle ears. Religion plays a really big part in the first game, and there's something called the Chantry and the Chant of Light, which is like the major Christ, you know, Christian-like religion. Their holy figure is a woman named Andraste, who was known as the Bride of the Maker, and she marched against the Tevinter Imperium, which is kind of like the Roman Empire, because the subjugation people felt under the yoke of mages who, you know, had access to magical powers and were the ruling class of Dementor and still are in this day, but Dementor's this much smaller, less powerful thing in the current world of Thedas in this game. So it's been like a couple thousand years since all that went down. About 1,000 years. There was a bunch of these Dementor mages who went into heaven essentially and corrupted it. and that's where Darkspawn and Demons and Evil comes from. So this is like a whole backstory for the whole original Dragon Age game. Nice. So since then, the non-Tevinter chantry, there's two different, it's like Roman Catholics and the Orthodox Church.
Okay.
Split. So the Roman Catholic Church version of it has put mages under their oppressive yoke for hundreds of years. And by the end of Dragon Age 2, that's been busted wide open. There's like an active raging civil war going on. So in the middle of all of that, the leader of the chantry is trying to call a truce between the Templars who control the mages and the mages who are now running amok and destroying the countryside. And stuff goes down. And your character was in the middle of it for reasons both unknown to her and to the player at large, because they're kind of just piecing it together as they go along through the story.
She was collecting herbs in the wrong place.
She's collecting herbs in the wrong place. I need this elf root. Oh, what's happening over here? That's what it seems like right now. Like, I've gotten to the point where she's recovered some of her memories of what's happened. And you can play male or female, so I play female right now. And also playing a Kunari, which is, you know, the large horned critters that Sten is essentially a part of their race. You meet a lot of people right off the bat. A couple of Dragon Age 2 characters in the forms of Cassandra and Varric join your party. There's an elven mage who I believe is more than he seems to be, so that makes up four. It's your four starting party members. Then you meet some more people as you go along, run into some familiar faces from previous games. So there's a lot of nerding out there. Visit a lot of old locations in Ferelden from the first game. Get to visit new locations you've only heard about in passing, like Orlais from previous games. And you're basically putting the world back together after the Civil War has torn everything apart. So it's a lot more like the first game. It's a lot more like Dragon Age in a lot of ways. Like, the whole open world thing reminds me of roaming around with the Mako and like scanning stuff and collecting things and doing little side missions. So you can spend all of your time doing that, or you can play the story, which I do occasionally. But like other BioWare games, when you play a story mission, there's a chance that the entire world around you is going to change when you're done with it. So I try to avoid those until I'm sure I've exhausted every possible avenue. And like I said, I'm 70 hours in, and I'm sure I'm maybe halfway through the game, which is ridiculous.
I gotta say, I'm getting tired just hearing about it.
Oh, God. I don't know how to explain this game.
I think when you have something with that big of a backstory, that big of a thing, it's pretty much impossible to go over it in a few minutes.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if I'm ever going to get into that game, because it looks like I already missed the boat on these guys. But
maybe. I mean, this is the first good game
first
game to start with, but it is just so massive. But you can skip over the massive parts. Like, you can ignore how massive it is just to go to your objective, do your thing, get your next mission, do it, go. But you're gonna miss stuff, and it's like, how do you make a game that's so huge that like only a certain percentage of your base is actually gonna play all of it? It's just boggling to me.
I was thinking the same thing when I saw the new Xenoblade trailer, Xenoblade Chronicles X.
It's just as bad. Like, I've heard it's just as bad.
Okay, now I love Xenoblade very much, but one of the things that was it was so massive that it took a long time to do stuff, and there was so much to do, and I felt you could never do all the side missions. You just had to kind of pick and choose, and just getting through it. And it still was a really, really long game. And then they advertised this one of the world is five times as big. And I'm like, no. Now the people who have who are still college students who have a lot of time, they're like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm never gonna beat this, am I? It's just. But I mean, it looks like there's going to be, like, I don't know, mechs and vehicles and things to go around the terrain easier. But still, like, I guess for the most part, I like things that are a little more linear, just because I don't have the time to adequately explore things anymore.
That's how I feel, because I have like maybe like 2 hours.
Yeah,
in one sitting to do anything, and like I can easily just spend all that time like talking to people in my base and gathering herbs and like selling equipment I don't need. Like I can just do inventory management for 2 hours. It's really kind of bad.
Sounds like work.
I swear to God, it's a fun game. The combat's very interesting. It introduces a tactical view. So you have to like pause it every few seconds. You can like, it's like a pause mode. You can set your waypoints and like fight this and then like hold down a button to move time forward and let go as soon as you're like, oh, I got to change things up again. But most of the time I just play in real time and because I'm not doing it in a very difficult level. But if I were to be really crazy and like the nightmare difficulty, I would probably depend on that all the time. I swear it's a fun game. I promise you. I'm so thorough.
I'm sure it is. Just like, though I haven't had a great experience with it itself, I realize that Mass Effect is probably a fantastic series as well. Yeah. And maybe now that I have an Xbox 360, maybe I'll just pick up the first one and see, you know, experience it for the first time rather than trying to jump in, you know, later on. But I don't know. These gigantic games, I don't know, they're a bit intimidating to me. I played Oblivion for the first time the other day, the Elder Scrolls game.
Sure.
And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, first of all, I don't like making a character very often. I know a lot of people like that because it allows the game to be more personalized, but sure. I'm more of a fan of the game telling me who I am and then I imagine my life as that character. Sure. For me That's interesting. You know, the same as when you watch a movie, you don't want you to be the thing. So, I mean, I like that it's inclusive, that it allows people to make a character that looks like them. But for the most part, I play video games to get away from being me. So,
well, there are defaults. You can just go with the default faces.
Well, yeah.
Whatever. But, you're fine.
But regardless, and especially with the technology as it is, when you choose a character that, you know, you create yourself, the story can only be so deep relating to that character because it has to accommodate to any possible character you might create. Mass Effect, I'll say Mass Effect did a great job of this by... they didn't have to change a lot of dialogue because no matter what character name you gave, you were still Shepard. So yes. that was the end. And you know, Fem Shep and Dude Shep.
I don't know. Shep. There are lots of acceptable alternatives.
Yeah, we're both given a similar character type, so that the storyline didn't have to be changed a lot. But anyway, I was playing this game and. I don't know. I just couldn't get into it, and that's a shame. And a friend of mine just loaned me Skyrim to play,
right,
on the PS3, which I hear it's better now, right? There was a lot of problems when it came out.
I didn't really follow it. All I know about Skyrim is that it was a big influence on what they did with the Inquisition.
So I don't
know. Lots of herbs gathering.
as long as I can just sit around. Gathering my herbs. Can you be the character who, like, there's a lot going on over there, there's a war or something, but you're just kind of trying to cover your own butt, keep a low profile, just like maybe profit off of it, you know, open a tavern that caters to the troops coming in, and you know, and then just do some scrapbooking.
that's more or less what I do until it's like, oh, I guess I gotta deal with this huge world calamity. Fine. 100 hours in, all right, I'll play my first story mission.
Yeah,
really feel it's, like
it's,
it.
It's the same. I started Animal Crossing again recently because I never played the Wii version of it because I played the GameCube version and the DS version and everything. And I was playing it, and I'm like, I've already played this game.
Yeah.
Twice.
But
yet I'm like, this is a waste of my time. And 4 hours later, ooh, a new t-shirt. You know, I just, I don't know, but I stopped already because it's getting too repetitious. But it's the thing when you have an unlimited number of things to do, sometimes it's really hard to just keep going.
Yeah, and maybe I'm using this whole Dragon Age thing as an excuse to be mad at Nintendo. So it's like, oh, well, I can't use my Amiibo, so I'm not going to play Smash Bros. I'll just be over here gathering herbs. Maybe that's what we should call this episode, Gathering Herbs.
Gathering Herbs. We want to have titles that really like brings people into the main topic that we're talking about.
Oh, good grief. Oh, we should just end it then. How about that?
Yeah.
If people are curious why we didn't do any Piles of Shame, listen to the intro we have for this year.
Yep.
We're doing things a little bit different this year. And next week, we are going to have our Denshi Mail and talk about our videos and other stuff that we are doing. And then the week afterwards, we will have our new regular episode.
I was going to say it's the extra stuff, and you know this episode you're listening to is the meat, but I think we just spent about 10 minutes talking about herb gathering.
Also kill rams for their leather and their delicious, delicious meat. And other animals.
Until the next time, JoJo Ian.
Making a poultice. Whoa, yay! Whoa! Famicom Dojo. If you enjoyed this episode, please visit our show notes at FamicomDojo.tv and leave a comment. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or our RSS feed. Rate and leave a comment on our free iTunes storefront, or call us at 608-492-1923 to share your thoughts. Follow Famicom Dojo on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube to train your game. And visit littlepodcast.com to sponsor an episode, sign up for a free Audible trial, or listen to any of the other great shows on the Little Podcast Network.